You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today, we do not know what they want. They do not know themselves what they really want.
I've been wondering what that special place in hell looks like for those who promoted Brexit without even a sketch of a plan how to carry it.
Brexit means Brexit.
To wire.
Official, verified caucus results are coming in from the state of Iowa. They're not complete, but results are in from a majority of precincts, and they show our campaign in first place. So, we don't know all of the numbers, but we know this much. A campaign that started a year ago with four staff members, no name recognition, no money, just a big idea. A campaign that some said should have no business even making this attempt, has taken its place at the front of this race to replace the current president with a better vision. It validates the idea that we can expand a coalition not only unified around who it is we're against, but around what it is that we're for.
The reason that we won tonight in New Hampshire, we won last week in Iowa, it's because of the hard work of so many volunteers. And let me say tonight that this victory here is the beginning of the end for Donald Trump. With victories behind us, popular vote in Iowa and the victory here tonight, we're going to Nevada, we're going to South Carolina, we're going to win those states as well.
We have now won the Nevada caucus.
Overnight, Bernie Sanders celebrating victory in Nevada at a rally in Texas.
In Nevada, we have just put together a multi-generational, multi-racial coalition, which is going to not only win in Nevada, it's going to sweep this country. We are going to win across the country because the American people are sick and tired of a president who lies all of the time. They are sick and tired of a corrupt administration. They are sick and tired of a president who is undermining American democracy, who thinks he is above the law, and who apparently has never read the Constitution in this country.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. South Carolina! Just days ago, the press and the pundits had declared this candidacy dead. Now, thanks to all of you, the heart of the Democratic Party, we just won, and we've won big because of you. And we are very much alive. This is the moment to choose the path forward for our party. This is the moment, and it's arrived. Maybe sooner than anyone guessed it would, but it's here. And the decisions Democrats make all across America in the next few days will determine what this party stands for, what we believe, and what we'll get done. If Democrats nominate me, I believe we can beat Donald Trump. We need to build on the coalition and legacy of the most successful president in our lifetime, Barack Obama. Winning means uniting America, not sowing more division and anger. It means not only fighting, but healing the country.
Welcome to Super Tuesday. And if you're listening from New Zealand, but if you are listening in the United States, well, you still got a couple of hours. And those four clips you just heard were the four Democratic primaries for the presidential nomination. But now today, it's Super Tuesday. It is probably the second most important day in the American election calendar after Election Day on November 3rd, because a third of the overall delegates that will nominate the Democratic Party's presidential candidate are at stake. Putting it in numbers, while 1,991 delegates are required to secure the nomination at the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in July. 1,344 delegates are up for grabs on Super Tuesday. And this year, 14 states and one territory will be holding their own primaries, including California, which has the largest number of delegates with 415. 17 southern states, including Texas, which has the third largest number of delegates, and North Carolina, Virginia, Texas, Arkansas, Alabama, and Oklahoma. And apart from that, we also have Colorado, Utah, Massachusetts, Vermont, Maine, Minnesota, and American Samoa. And now, meet the candidates. While the race started last year with 29 people seeking the Democratic nomination, it has since dropped down to a five-horse race. In the lead is Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who has 60 delegates. He jointly won the Iowa caucus with former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg and won outright the primaries in New Hampshire and the Nevada caucus. Following him behind is the top moderate candidate, former Vice President Joe Biden, with 54 delegates. Despite having poor performances in the Iowa and New Hampshire primaries, the Biden campaign has been rejuvenated with his win in South Carolina. And in third place with 8 candidates is Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, then with Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii and former New York mayor and billionaire Michael Bloomberg. But before Super Tuesday began, the likes of Pete Buttigieg, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, who endorsed Joe Biden, billionaire Tom Steyer, and entrepreneur Andrew Yang have dropped out of the race. And so, who would win Super Tuesday? Well, it is unlikely to have an outright winner because the Democratic Party have a no-winner-takes-all states, which means where whoever comes first place gets all the state's delegates. Instead, they allowed delegates proportionally based on each contest results, only on the basis if one candidate got 15% of the vote. Those who got below 15% in the race will get nothing. So what that means, it's the margin that is crucial, because a narrow win will barely provide an advantage in the delegate count, because proportional rules means the second place finisher usually gets close to the same amount of delegates, but winning in a landslide will provide a big delegate edge in their own state. Even though it's less likely to have an outright winner, the Democratic race will no doubt be more narrowed down after Super Tuesday, and whoever gets the most delegates will gain more momentum and possibly a gateway to the nomination, because it making their rivals more difficult to catch up. So on Super Tuesday, what's at stake for the main candidates? Well, for the front runner, Bernie Sanders, his target is to keep his lead in the delegate count. And according to the New York Times, there are few states out of reach for him, including Massachusetts, the home state of his left-wing rival Elizabeth Warren. The most important target, however, is California, where his campaign hopes not just to win, but to win by such a dominant margin that he captures a vast majority of delegates. If Sanders managed that feat, he could open a nearly insurmountable delegate lead. Biden is also trying to gain as much votes as he can after his main moderate rivals, Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, dropped out of the race. He is also trying to play his strengths on districts with large numbers of black voters, especially this is the main factor that he won in the South Carolina primary. But could Michael Bloomberg's big spending spoil the party? Bloomberg, who is worth $55.4 billion, has been spending money on advertising that has no precedent in American politics, including media markets in big population states like California and Texas, while Arkansas, Oklahoma, Virginia, North Carolina are states where black voters, Latinos, and suburban whites all hold real power, but also targets of Bloomberg. While spending big does build recognition for Bloomberg, the depth of that support is questionable because it lacked a geographical or demographic base of the kind that other candidates have, such as Biden, who has support from black voters. Bernie Sanders, who has popularity with young people, or Elizabeth Warren, whose string lays with progressive women. And speaking of Senator Warren, her main objective was like Joe Biden, where Joe Biden was last week, to get a win and regain momentum for her campaign, because so far she has no strong performances to point to. And her fifth place finish last over the weekend in South Carolina did little to suggest she has been able to grow her appeal among black voters. To make things more difficult, as I mentioned previously, even though her home state, Massachusetts, is poised for the primary, polls suggesting Bernie Sanders, her fellow left-lane candidate, is giving her strong competition in that state. But to make a long story short, to summarize Super Tuesday, and I quote from the New York Times, the only candidate likely to make the 15% threshold everywhere, or nearly everywhere, is Bernie Sanders. Everyone else is fighting not necessarily to beat him in states, but to hold down what is expected to be Mr. Sanders' delegate lead at night's end. If it is only Bernie Sanders and one other rival who make the 15% threshold in most places, and there is little consistency in who those other rivals are, it will allow Sanders to build a nearly insurmountable delegate advantage heading towards states that vote later in the calendar.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.